genus, the Sulu, that indeed she was a member of this parliament for many years, and for some of us who weren't there at that time, in this house, as it were, it may be interesting for us to be aware of the fact that she was also the person who proposed the MP, Nelson Mandela, as president in terms of the house. And I think that, you know, these things, for those who've been here for some time, I don't know who has, you know, who in this committee has been here since 1994 in terms of officials and MPs. You've been in the National Assembly. No, I think what you mean is you were there in spirit. But there are, I believe, one or two members who do go back to that time. I'll check with Commie Vicky. And it's quite a remarkable thing that after all those years, there it is. She is designated to perform that memorable act. But for me, I remember her as somebody who knew the importance of serving the people and who was self-disciplined and committed to ensuring the policy was implemented. In other words, did her oversight robustly. So on that note, I'm just going to ask members to pause for a moment while I just engage with the whip who's just joined me from strategy. Are we all on board, as it were, and asking members once again, I think, to try to refrain. I know some members have senior positions within their own parties and their respective parties, but can we please refrain from focusing too much on ourselves and try to give the presenter, when the presenter comes on board, the DTI, and that would be, I'm sure, Ms. G1, is it, or Ms. Susan Mangoli, or Ms. Vasa Haranath, led by the DG. But let us first look at the program here. We don't have any minutes here, I see. No, so we'll do them tomorrow. Is that the idea? You do have minutes. No, you've got, I'm looking at my own group. The agenda, we've got consideration of draft minutes. I am aware of that, but I meant the actual physical minutes. Have you all got them? Good. So we could do that. It is my intention to complete this meeting at 12:22. All right? One item on the agenda bar the minutes. Thank you. Can I have someone to propose the adoption? Honourable McLawball, seconded by the Honourable Williams. Right. Now, on the apologies, I am only aware of the one apology, and that is the Honourable Mantash, who is still on party business. I see the Honourable Albert's party business, And Honourable Esterhazen is attending the energy meeting. Do we have any other apologies? Is there someone missing? No. Okay. Can we please take out the consideration of minutes? I see here, are they all? Oh, yeah. One with a raft of them. Now, some of them were for amendments. Is that correct? Please guide us, Mr. Medema.
Morning. From our side, the minutes, draft minutes of the 22nd of August were for amendment, and then there's another one for 14th of September, but the rest are actually new minutes.
The 21st July? Just to confirm, these are minutes you have not yet seen. Mr. Hermans was away at the time. So Tuesday the 31st of July, my concern was that it is so old. And there it is, you've got page one. Please check your names against the register. Where is the register? Right. Check there that it's all on track. Page two. And then the register itself. We have someone to propose adoption who was present. Honourable Tierko, seconded by Honourable Williams. Right. Then we've got the 22nd of August. Are these the amended ones? These we did see, and then we asked for them to be amended. Just refresh our memories on the amendment that we requested. Mr. Medema.
Members, the amendments were particularly in connection with the SABC. They were issues that were omitted, so we corrected that. I referred to the wrong one. Margot will take us through. Sorry for that.
But Mr. Medema, these are your minutes. Please take us through. You must know what you did. Of September, page one, page two, page three. Thank you for numbering the pages this time. Page four. Page 5 has, there are resolutions on pages, I'm just looking here, I think it is 3, let me just see pages 4, under point 4, the resolution there, and another resolution under point 8. Those are important to note so that you can track them, all right? We have someone to propose the adoption of these minutes. Honourable Williams, Honourable Buyani. Right. Where's this pen? Adopted. Then we have the 5th of September. Page 1. Now these don't have numbering again. I've requested numbering in all of the minutes. Page 2. page 3. Honourable Williams.
Sorry, Chair, on page 2, there's some spelling mistakes that I've just picked up. Point 2, where the adoption of the agenda. So maybe perhaps the Secretary should just read through those minutes again and make sure that there's none of that. Thank you. Sorry, Chair, I've noticed that I'm the one at fault there, so I withdraw my earlier...
Well, I was wondering how Williams, the alternatives to the spelling of Williams and so on, but anyway. No, thank you. All right, page 3. You do know there's a problem with the computer, huh? Do you know that, or was it the printing machine? It looks like the typewriter, yeah. Just check that, because I don't know if it's spelled right or not. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6, you've got under point 4, several resolutions with respect to the Copyright Amendment Bill. Is this page 7? This will be the last time I take the minutes to the committee without page numbering. 5 years, I think, is enough time to have learned that. Page 7. Now, while this may be purely a layout issue, is it possible for the person who did these minutes, Mr. Hermans, to ensure that pages 7, you don't have a slightly different style to the rest of the 6 pages? A little glance at the minutes will indicate that they are incorrect for style. Right, we then sign the minutes. Right. Can someone propose the adoption who was present? These are extensive minutes to do with the National Credit Amendment Bill and copyright. Honourable Williams, seconded by the Honourable Tierko. Thank you. The 11th of September, page 1. No, really, by Adrian Munn.
Page 1. 2.
For those of us who are intent on hearing what is going to be said in the House about these agreements, please note, this is where we were briefed on some of these issues. Page 3. Page 4. Someone to propose the adoption of these minutes. Right, Honourable McLaughlin, seconded by the Honourable Tierko. All right, now we've done 11, there is 12. 12th of September, Wednesday, page 1, page 2. Mr. Hermans needs to ask someone to check his style. Every now and again his memory wanders. Page 2. And as I've said to the other day, I'll be sending back all minutes where I'm invited to pick up a chair. Please don't have me taking any chairs. I do not pick up chairs. I open a committee. Right, the signed area. And I have someone to propose the adoption of the 12th of September. Honourable McLawbore, seconded by the Honourable Williams, adopted.
I'm adopting it with the amendment you made, that you never pick up a chair. You formally open the meeting and blah, blah, blah.
Thank you very much, Honourable McLawbore. I would hope Mr. Hermans is listening. you know, we are modern now. I think we're in the 21st century. 12th. There's one set of minutes that I would like to do, the 14th and finish September. 14th of September, that was by Mr. Medema. And now I hope, because you've heard me say this many times, you didn't ask me to pick up. I've said this 3 times during your presence. Now just correct that. Page 2. And please remove all the 2s, RTO. Page 3. The substance of the minutes is correct. Let's at least say that positively about the minutes. Please, before the end of this month, can we have it agreed and can we have the correct manner in which I've requested that the meeting is opened? Minutes of the 14th, can we propose someone to propose the adoption? Those were the public hearings in September. That was what was on the agenda. Right. Honourable Buyani, seconded by the Honourable Williams. Right. Those take us through. The 4th of September, we said Mr. Hermans, we have adopted that one, right? That's all of September, is that right, Ms. Sheldon? And then we've just got October 9, 11, and 16. If we can just spend 3 minutes there, DG, we'll be with you. October the 9th, page 1. Page 2. Gosh, Mr. Medema, I want to congratulate you. On page 2, the chairperson opened the meeting and welcomed all present. And there are page numbers. Those 2 little technicalities addressed fully. All right, great. I can put on my tombstone, she never ever picked up chairs. Page 3. The register. Those were very simple minutes. Many of us were present. We have someone to propose the adoption. Honourable Williams, seconded by the Honourable Tiako. The 11th. I don't have the tenth. Right, number 10, Wednesday. There were quite a few present, notwithstanding the apologies we had. Sasa was here, page 2. And you also wrote, just agreed. Now, I really must commend you. You took that meeting very seriously. Right, page 3. Re-emphasize the localization program. It may not be a requirement, but stylistically, re-emphasize looks better with a little hyphen, 4.2.7, but it's not cast in stone. There's a resolution. Did you see that, Honorable Buyani? The resolution. Thank you. And we then have someone to propose the adoption. Hang on. Let me just see. I did attend that meeting. So please note the amendment of my signature being put there. Adoption. Can we have somebody to propose adoption who was present? Honorable Williams, seconded by the Honorable Buyani. Right. 11. On the 11th here, page 1. I must say, talking about the apologies, we always get apologies in writing from the people who are noted here, but I think Honorable Yesterhazen's is often in a cell, is it? Yeah. Just try to persuade him to put it in writing, page 2. Stylistically again, page 2. I mean, I can't understand how some of us walked out of prison and could do a layout, and others who never went near there can't do it. Page 3. No, but it's true. Page 4. Your computer's got a little thing where you put the number in and you just click one button and it's like that for the whole paper. You don't have to do anything else. You know? Page numbering, that was page, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4. Page 4, point 8. Page 5, continuing with page 8. Collecting societies. DG, we spent a lot of time on collecting societies. We do hope when the bill comes into the House, we've got it right. And the last page then. Adjournment on the 16th at 3:05. A lot of us never signed this, I'm not why, but someone marked us present. Right. We have someone to propose the adoption. Honourable Tiafco, seconded by the Honourable Williams. And now for the last one, that's 11th. Where's the one after that? 14th. No, 16th. The 16th is a Tuesday, page 1. Page 2. If I see minutes from Mr. Herman stylistically incorrect, I will send them back. Please tell him. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. We've been through these several times. 6. 7. There are several resolutions. Let me just go back there. There are resolutions under point 4 and point 6 on page 7. Right. On that note then, and I would ask members to please retain these as they go through the various bills. They are very helpful to see what we've agreed to. someone to propose adoption who was present. Right. Honourable William, seconded by the Honourable McLaughlin. 16. Is that all the minutes we were given? Right. There's one set that we had a problem with. Which one was that? The 22nd of August. Is that right? I want these. Won't be possible tomorrow, but if these can be. Yeah. Do we meet on Thursday now? We'll sort this out next week, the 22nd of October. Thank you very much, members, and also thanks to all parties for at least going through the minutes. Let's start on the agenda and apologize to the department for that delay, for yourselves. I think we've acknowledged almost everyone, haven't we, here, DG? Is that correct earlier on? Right. Having said that, DG, would you please take us through the incentives? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, for giving us the opportunity to present our incentive. I just want to introduce the team again. Firstly, Susan Mangole, next to me, she's the Chief Operating Officer, the second in command of this important division. Reika Jiwa, she's the Chief Director for Manufacturing Incentives. And then Vasha Harinath, she's the Director in this division managing our incentives. Chair, this presentation you asked us to do is the five-year overview of our incentive package. So we've put together this presentation. We're going to, as I said, try to just because, as you will see, it's quite our incentive program doubled over this period. And this is the first time in the history of the DTI that we've had a real incentive package to offer the manufacturing sector. So we obviously will focus on the highlights. And then we will also give provincial breakdowns, and then we will just look at some specific examples of the program. But the first question to ask is obviously, why do we need incentives for the manufacturing sector specifically? Firstly, if you look at employment levels in the country, the manufacturing sector employs 1.7 million people. 1.7 million people, and it is known that manufacturing has the highest multipliers. The World Bank says for every one job you create in manufacturing, you create four other jobs in the economy, because obviously manufacturing is your engine and it pulls in the agricultural sector, because as you know, it's the processing part, and it also pulls in the mining sector because you add value to your primary sectors. So it's over 5.4 million people that's directly responsible for the manufacturing that sector. But more important than also, or as important as the growth, it is also the sector that brings equality into a society. If you find a country with high levels of inequality, you will find that it doesn't have a manufacturing sector. Even if you look at the hollowing out in the West, in the US, and in parts of the UK, the reason for the increased level of inequality is linked to the hollowing out of the industrial sector. So it's very important both for equality and for growth, because manufacturing is the engine of your economy, and you cannot rely on mining or agriculture or financial services to drive an economy. Now, we've got a range of incentives, I think over 10, 12 incentives, and we were to break them down, we've grouped them in the department into different sectors. So the first part, the first cluster is broadening participation. Under this program, we have the Black Industrialist Program. We also have our support program for industrial innovation, and we have a human resource program. So this is for broadening participation, and as you know, the Black Industrialist Program is a very new program. Then we have the manufacturing cluster, which is the most important and the most significant. Over here, we've got the 12i tax incentives. We've got the famous one, which everybody knows, which was introduced in 2012, MSEP.
manufacturing competitive enhancement program, we have the auto program, we have aquaculture program, and clothing and textile program. So this is the manufacturing cluster. Then we have also an important cluster, which is the services cluster. And here we've got the two big programs, which is very important for youth, is the business processing, outsourcing incentive, which is really the call centers. And as you know, these in call centers employ 3,000 to 4,000 to 5,000 young people. So it's BPS program, and then the other big one, which is film and television. And as you know, we have created, and we'll go over that. But this program on its own has created an entire film industry in the country. Then we've got a competitiveness program cluster, which is really where we have our export. We assist companies with exports. So you will see export marketing assistance program. This is the way we go on trade shows, the sector-specific assistance program. And the final one is a very important one, which is also not too well known, is the infrastructure. So here it's our special economic zones and industrial parks, and then also what we call a critical infrastructure program. This is where we even assist the building of roads or bridges or waterworks to be able to get a industry functional. So that is our cluster of programs, and then you will see the breakdown later on is into these different clusters. Important because this program takes up over 50% of our budget. And we will see later on, we've helped over 12,000 companies, and you will see we've managed to maintain that we spend 99% of our budget. And we also have been able to, despite the high turnover in this program, we've been able to get a clean audit in 3 out of the 4 years. And that is why, and I want to put it here, we've developed a service charter, which we try to instill a culture. And the first thing is, we must maintain the integrity of the program. Because as you know, because we want, hopefully, in the next parliament, because for the first time under this administration and under your leadership, we have doubled the size of our incentive programs. We have over about 6 billion to 7 billion a year spent on incentives. It's the first time from in 2010, we were at about 2, 3 billion a year. We're a very small incentive program. So we hope then it will be doubled. To do that, as a department, we want to maintain the integrity of the program, and we also want to see that it's well run, well managed, but also ethically managed. So that is why we instill this culture. We have a zero tolerance for corruption, and as I said, our main aim is to get the incentive to entrepreneurs, to those who are, to people who take risk and employ people and engage in productive industrial work. So what is the overview then? As I said, really because of the amount of detail, we're going to have to spend time just on the highlights. So there's three types of support that you have. The first one is loans. And this is basically the MCEP loan scheme. This is where we give companies, especially for working capital, low interest rate loans. The second type of support we give is a tax allowance. This is basically where if you make an investment, you then pay less tax further down the line. So as you know with us, for example, if we have an income tax of 40%, it means if you invest, you then only pay tax of 30%. And in that way, it's an incentive to you because it's real money, it's money you would have paid over in tax, you then save on that, but the quid pro quo is you make a capital investment and you employ people. So the second one is that, and that is big, that is 20 billion over 5 years, which is the tax allowance, and that is mainly the 12i tax incentive. It's called 12i because that's the number in the Customs Act, section 12i of the Customs Act. And then the biggest one is the grants. This is where the bulk is, and as I said, over the period of 5 years, it was 32 billion that we have been allocated. And these ones are, but as I said, it is a co-investment. So usually the company would put in 80% of the investment. And then if they do it and we commit it, we make usually tranches of about three payments. But you only start getting the money once you make the investment. That is how we've been ensured the integrity of the program. And as I said, we also have to have strong due diligence, because we've got an inspectorate in the division that goes and visit the company to see that there is an asset, that the machinery is in use. And then you are also ensured that we look at the payroll to see that you maintain or increase employment. If you reduce employment, you don't get the incentive. So it is linked to performance, because as you know, many countries have lost their incentive programs because they subsidize uncompetitive losing companies. We must ensure that we give to companies that are going to grow, and that's why. So it's loans, tax allowances, and then the grant element, and that is cash grants. So in total, number of companies that we've assisted, as I said, it's 11,181. And that is roughly more than 2,000 companies we help every year. As you know, it's big numbers, and that's why we have to have a very strict administration and system to be able to ensure that we get value for money out of these 11,000. As I said, so it's really a direct grant from the state to the private sector, and the quid pro quo is this: there must be investment. Then in terms of what have we achieved as a country for our $32 billion outlay, firstly, the projected investment, when a company applies for an incentive, it must say what it is going to invest. And then we calculate the incentive based on the company's investment. And there, $311 billion is the projected investment. And that, as you can see, is even not 20-1, but 10-1 is the leverage that is for the economy. Over $300 billion in the projected investment. How much have we disbursed? As you know, once we approve you, we then pay you out over 2 or 3 years as you make the investment, and therefore our disbursement. So as you can see, currently we have disbursed already 28.8 billion rand, which is the ratio. In terms of jobs, and this is the important figures here. Now, the important thing in manufacturing is your biggest threat is always deindustrialization. Everybody's going through that, and that is why you have the problems, as I said, growing inequality in the global economy, and that is why, because people lose, because it's a highly competitive industry, you can easily be overrun by imports, and you know, China has changed the world since it's got onto the manufacturing scene, where they can produce much cheaper than most economies. And so we've maintained 280,000 jobs and created 288,000 jobs. That is what is, and as I said, that is compared to a sector which is 1.7 million. And that gives that figure. Also, manufacturing sector is very important for exports and for foreign exchange earnings. 16.1 billion of export earnings is done. Then the others I won't go through, but the big numbers here is basically it's about 6 billion a year that is disbursed for investment, and about 11,000 companies that benefit and 280,000, so about 500,000 jobs maintained and created. Then if we look in terms of, as we know, Department of Trade and Industry stands for transformation and industrialization. Those are the two purposes of our incentives. We want to both become richer, and by becoming more equal, we transform our economy, and it reverses. It's in terms of the Black Industrialist Program, under the period, it's 102 Black Industrialists that we have supported over the period. And then, as we know, we've retweaked our film incentives, where we create a support for emerging black filmmakers, and 106 emerging black filmmakers have been approved. So the industry is actually changing, and as I said, there are much more black filmmakers now in play than there was 5-10 years ago. So I think the big ones here is
emerging from. And then the other big support is the, as I said, for the exporters, the 4,299 emerging black exporters were supported under our EMEA program. So it's still slow, but there is that fix from where we were, where greater black industrialists engaging in the economy. Then the other big program, which is now really taking off, and especially in three areas, is, as you know, before we got a clear budget for special economic zones and before you passed the act, which again I must really thank the portfolio committee, before we used to only get a few a million to one or two SEZs before. And since the adoption of the SEZ Act, Treasury then made an allocation, and now we get over $1 billion a year for our special economic zones program. So that is a new thing that never existed before 2014. So now with the SEZs, again, as I said, $35 billion in terms of the automotive program, but just in terms of the SEZs, there's three SEZs which is really performing extremely well now. There's Kucha with about 35-40 investors. There is East London IDZ, and then there's Dubai Trade Port. Those three SEZs have really taken off, and we are using them as an example for all the others now to join. And soon we will have some on the ground, the Musina Mokado SEZ in Nepal. And so, but as I said, by the end of this administration, every province would have had a special economic zone. And then the other big one, and again, it is the automotive program. Now, why automotive is important? Because a country, it really becomes industrialized once it has an auto industry. Currently, the auto industry employs 100,000 people directly and 500,000 indirectly. It makes up more than 50% of the manufacturing sector. But more than 50%, 7% of GDP is produced by the automotive sector. But the automotive sector doesn't also only stand on its own. For example, ArcelorMittal, the steel industry, supplies all the door panels and all the structure of the car comes from from your steel industry. So your plastics industry, your windscreens, and your glass industry, your electronics, and so on. So it has a pull factor into mining, because you have to get the iron ore and the coal, then you have to make steel. It all goes into an auto car. So the backward linkages, that's why you see all the major economies, United States with Ford and General Motors, Germany, France with Peugeot, South Korea, Japan, all of them, the driver of your manufacturing sector is your automotive industry, because you have so many backward and forward linkages. So that's why we have had this program of an automotive industry, and also the industry has doubled over the period. We used to produce 300,000 vehicles. We now produce 600,000 cars a year. And then the new plan is projected to 1.2 million vehicles will be produced in South Africa. Then the breakdown is the provinces. All the detail is here. I will just highlight, you will see that obviously the heart of our, the incentive works on the basis of supply and demand. Companies apply. When companies make an investment, we co-invest with them. How things to begin?
Members, please try to focus on the presenters and the input that we're getting. It's a very valuable input. Thank you.
Thanks, Richie. As I said, the significant ones, you will see Limpopo is quite high in terms of the projected investment, 55 million, and that's based mainly because of the special economic zone and the building of both a coal a power station and also then the smelter that will be built there. As I indicated, there's a broad spread. All the provinces have had substantial allocations, but it's really the size of the industrial sector in those provinces that
that lead to the allocation. Then if we look at, go from the provinces to the geographic spread, we look at the different subsectors then of that. As I said, with the new one is the agriculture sector, and there we've allocated 127 million. This is just over the past 12-month period. And then business process and outsourcing, again, 96 million. The industrial infrastructure, and then innovation, manufacturing, and film and TV. And then that is a sectoral breakdown of the incentives. Again, here, we, as I said, the only one new ones I want to focus on here is clothing and textiles. As I said, this is also a very new incentive. It is only 5 years old. 5 years old, and as I said, in that period, we've been able to not only preserve the 90,000 jobs in the clothing and textile industry, but that it has seen growth in the textile sector, as I said, for the first time in maybe over 15, 20 years, we've seen growth in the sector. So that's why we can see how the incentive have added value. And then, as I said, the big sector also coming out of the job summit now is going to be the wood, paper and furniture sector. And because of the localization and government's commitment and the private sector to buy locally manufactured furniture, we hope to revive the furniture industry and make it as we did with clothing, textile and automotive. This is then a breakdown of the period of as I said, it includes the tax incentives, the loans, and the grants. This is the per annum incentives, and as I said, the first year you can see this. This is when the first time when the economic package was introduced after the global financial crisis. As you know, a stimulus package was introduced then, and the big part was what is called the manufacturing, the economic package, and the MCEP was introduced for the first year. So that big impact, 13.5 billion, is then the first time we introduced MCEP, and secondly, it was also the Mercedes-Benz made a big investment in the country. So that's the 13.5 billion. You can see then it averages out, and then it peaks again. And then there's the SEZ program that comes in, and that again bumps it up to 13 billion, which is then it was a big investment by Ford and Volkswagen, and then also the special economic zones in 2015-16. So this gives you a breakdown of the annual incentives that were granted, both tax and non-tax. So again, this is just a detailed breakdown by category of the different investments. As we said, it will project 311 billion. Is what is the projected investment. Export revenue that the companies will earn from these investments is 16.1 billion. As I said, there's a difference between you make the allocation and the disbursements, and in this slide we just show what is the disbursement and the average value per project. Then in getting to conclusion, just to look at the actual projects that we've invested, as I said, the others are aggregate figures. Here we just want to give a few of the major black industrialist companies that we've done. The one is Maneli Pets, which is basically a new market that was created by a black industrialist, 91% black owned, but also all of these products, and if you think it's just pet food, but is basically captured the United States market, and all of these is, most of these products exported to the United States. Very successful black industrialist. Kevali is in the Maluti Upper Fong in Harry Smith in Free State. This is a black industrialist making chemicals. Chumani is in the agro-processing area. And then Senzo is a ICT company making new wearable wrist watches for disabled. Those are just some of the black industrialist program that we've been through. The details are given there, and then I would just end off with looking at the black business process outsourcing. There's just two companies. If we look at Honorable Chair, just to notice, we 20 or few months ago, we received the Global Outsourcing Award. This is a Global Outsourcing Award, so South Africa has become a favored destination for outsourcing. As you know, we now have Amazon, we have Lufthansa, we have now British Airways, all of them using South Africa for their call centers are based here. You can see the big employment numbers, as I said, Capita, which is down in Maitland. There's over 2,000 employed in that company. There's BPS, Telershaw. And then looking at some of our big films, as you know, we've landed some big films and film series, and shortly there is a big announcement to be made, but basically we're going to win one of the top Hollywood series will be made in South Africa. But this just gives you some of the highlights of films made locally. And then in conclusion, as I said, the new program we're really going to be focusing, and we still don't have budget for this. We're using from our critical infrastructure fund, but it's really to launch the township economy. And here you can see the work we've done in Babalehi, which is in Hammanskraal, just north of Pretoria, and then Vulindlela, which is in Tata, in the Eastern Cape. These are just some of it. And then you can see some of the trade shows that we've attended and where we've taken the emerging enterprises. Chair, in conclusion, as I said, the summary is that I think what we've been able to achieve is not so much that there's been massive growth, but at least we've stabilized the manufacturing sector. We've been able to prevent deindustrialization, and I think we've laid a foundation to for the manufacturing sector, and we're hoping that if we can get your support, I think the task must be that in the next administration going forward, if we really want to have an impact, is to actually again double the amount of incentives, because in other countries the entire banking sector serves the manufacturing sector. Yes. It is not just small institutions like IDC and so on, it is the biggest banks. Mm-hmm. And also the whole or 80-90% of government procurement goes to the local manufacturing sectors in other successful economies. So those are some of the lessons we can draw.
Thank you very much, DG. I must say, certainly, just on without in, you know, going into it, the colour, the layout, the actual substantive information contained herein does sound very impressive. Thank you. But allow me to recognise members of trade and industry. Members, let us to give everyone an opportunity. Look at about 3 minutes per person or so. All right. Honourable Williams, Honourable MacPherson, Honourable Hadebe, Honourable Hlanguini, Honourable Buyane. In that order, Honourable Matlobo. Thank you. Shall we begin?
Thank you, Chair. First, I just want to welcome the presentation. I've just got a few questions. On slide 4, what is the breakdown of the spend of money between those 5 clusters? So is it each get 20% of the amount, or I'd like to know what that breakdown is. Then the incentive scheme is there to promote, obviously, building the manufacturing sector, creating jobs, maintaining jobs. But I just want to know, where does economic transformation fit in? And what percentage is spent on transforming the economy as shown in slide 7? I'd like to know all of those sections in slide 7. Is that 90% of the spend? I'd like to know exactly what that is. And my last question is, are there any requirements for transformation as a condition of getting an incentive? And if so, what is that? And if there aren't any requirements, why aren't there any requirements, as economic transformation is one of our key policies in this government? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Williams. Honourable MacPherson.
Thank you very much. I think, DG, you'll know since I've been in Parliament for 4 years, this has been an important issue that I think we find common cause on, and we both believe in the importance of incentives and how they can drive economic development and growth. But it seems that certainly for the last few years that the DTI's view to incentives is to support big businesses, industrialization, and I understand that that's a key importance. Excuse me. But I think that the department's really missed an opportunity and continues to miss an opportunity to drive small and medium-sized businesses through tax incentives and sector-specific incentives. And I think the last time we had this discussion was down in one of the S rooms in the old Senate, the NCOP, and you said that it was certainly something that the department was looking at, was sector-specific, more sector-specific, and small and medium-sized incentives. Can you just let me know if there's been any further development or any further work done on that? Because I think that, the I-12 should be extended or transformed into an incentive or tax allowance that focuses on small and medium businesses, because that's the economy that's going to grow jobs over time. I think also something that I've learned and I find interesting is how states in the United States compete against each other for investment. I think you'll remember the Sasol investment that went into Louisiana, I think it was. The intense competition that was taking place between states. How do we allow provinces or SEZs to compete against one another for investment? Because that is ultimately what's going to give investors the best return for their money and also the department that's investing in these SEZs. So how do we drive competition between SEZs? On industrial parks, I still don't know what incentives exist for industrial parks. There have been long discussions about provinces or local municipalities offering incentives, but I still don't have anything. Maybe those agreements have been concluded, and if they have, please can you take us through what they are. Now towards the problems that I think that exist within the current incentive program. When one looks at MSEP, there have been a number of examples where people were awarded facilities and yet they went and bought machines against those awards, only to be told after those machines had actually landed in South Africa and been installed that those grants had been cancelled
right. Because
there was a lack of funding. I think that really going forward into the next administration, DG, there has to be a longer-term view that is taken on investment, particularly in manufacturing.
Uh-huh.
These machines don't exist on the shelf. You can't go to the local, Builders Express and go and buy these machines. So I want to know what steps are being taken in the department to view incentives as a long-term program.
Thank you. I did allow you to complete then, but let's all try and keep to the 3 minutes. Honourable Hadebe.
Chairperson, I'll compare with my colleagues that the presentation is good, we welcome it. But I've got a question on slide number 8, in particular in connection with the auto industry, Chairperson. I don't know, with this issue of the President of America pushing the American companies to come back and manufacture at home, what impact is that going to have to us as a country? Because, there are certain products which we produce here in South Africa, like Double Everest. What impact is it going to have? And the other issue, this target of 1.2 million land or cars which you, cars which must be produced here, by which way is that going to be done? As we're speaking now, 600,000 by which year? Because I'm concerned about the competition which we are having within the continent itself, in particular from the side of Morocco and and Kenya, what impact is that competition going to have on our auto industry?
Autos.
And then on the issue of the following strategy, on the issue of the Northern Cape chain, you know, when we dealt with the issue of beneficiation, we in the previous term, we even suggested that there must be small land or small steel mills, which must be pursued that they can compete actually in that space. Because when you look at the Aral Sishinde, there are a lot of minerals around that area which can be benefited instead of being exported raw as it is. But I see that projecting forward, the issue of incentives for the Northern Cape is still very low. Did you dump that idea we had before? If you have dumped it, why? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Khadebe. Honourable Flangwini.
Thanks very much, Chair, and thank you very much, DG, for the presentation. I think it comes well received to us, Chair, as we have questioned last week on the Black Industrial List program. And one of our questions that we have given the task to the researchers was that vis-a-vis the money that Black industrials are getting from the department, the incentives, what is the department doing for them to also be going into the economy and get work from whether private companies or government? So I think Honourable Williams also alluded to it, and that is one of our questions last week, that we ask researchers to sort of the incentives vis-a-vis the work that they are getting from whether government or private sector or outside abroad. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Flangwini. We have the Honourable Buyani.
Chair, thanks. Let me first welcome the report and the presentation. It talked to us directly as a service delivery.
It's important that we all speak into the mic.
Yeah, but there's another meeting.
Chair, we're appreciating the color match here.
colleagues, at most times the Honourable Buyani speaks softly, but I'm actually struggling to hear him. Please.
Yeah. Chair, thanks. I think I indicated to the report to say we welcome the report, but I've got a few clarity-seeking questions. One is in terms of the incentive. Whether there's any transformation plan or strategy, because I can see that there's on page 17 there's a representation, so I want to know the clarity in terms of how do we give incentive to the United Kingdom and so forth. So, and also in terms of the provincial representative, I can see here Mpumalanga is not well represented, if not well, not at all represented. I just wanted to check whether there are no submissions from Mpumalanga, or there are no applications or approvals from Mpumalanga, or if you have a program in terms of capacity building and awareness program so that people from Mpumalanga as well get assistance from this program. The one of page 17, the United Kingdom. That Black industrialist incentive, how is going to assist the Black people there. Then in terms of localization, I think I'll need clarity as well with how many companies has the department has assisted in terms of localization, getting business with government, SOE, and so forth. I'll stand there. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Buyani. Honourable Tiako?
The presentation is fine.
No, you see, it's a kind of tit for tat I see with this talking.
Others complain when others are talking, and then they proceed to do the same thing. Now, what I suggest is we are all mindful that we should be respecting the person on the floor. Please, honourable members. Honourable Flanguini?
Thanks, Chair. Are you still on the floor?
Yes. All right. I
thought that was just an exigency. No. I want to... before you answer. Can I just... Just one point.
No, I hear what you're saying. Honourable Tiako, can we allow you to continue?
Thanks, Chair. DG, we welcome the report and the information that our colleagues are alluding on the issue of how the provinces are allocated and their spreading, and to make sure that it shouldn't be the which province to compete with the another. So we need to make sure that, like issue of Mpumalanga, we know we specialize with agriculture, and we just have to venture into that space. Tourism also, we have to also venture. And there was this product that we have launched in Mpumalanga, the gorge, the gorge lift in Graskop, meaning, yes, so basically those are the things that the development that is happening there. You will cover a lot because there's a lot of tourist destination which can be explore in that area. The issue of grading of our roads infrastructure, which leads to those destinations. You can't spend on your tires while you know that where you're going, there's potholes. We need to make sure that we talk to other departments and make sure where we can assist. The infrastructure where you pave, you make sure that the destination is well the integration of development. And also to say, on the industrialist itself, we need to see upcoming of women participation on those ones. Because there is a slide where it speaks about 102 black industrialists, but it doesn't specify how many women are participating in those programs. And the youth in particular, Chair.
Right.
We have a lot of unemployment, and the sooner the better. Because we need to make sure that there are intakes, the out of school, those who can't pass matric. What do we do? Those FETs, how do we go into those spaces? The issue where the education as they must involve also education to come on board. Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Tiako, Honourable Maslobo, and we are going to have the Honourable Kachalia followed by the Honourable Flanguini.
Thanks, Chair. Well, Chair, comrades were a little bit happy to see the presentation, not that they're trying to disrupt. That's how you could see them having a flag of our province, Mpumalanga. But firstly, just to thank the team, Chair, that at least even if we took a decision last week, the presentation it covers this period, which is assisting, because at least over a period you could be able to look at trend analysis. Safe to say that when it looks at the question of approvals, DG, you could see 2013-14 there was that 13 point something billion approvals. Then on the 2014-15 there was a dip, and then there was also a surge in terms of approvals. I don't know why there's that particular one, whether it was a question of appetite. But then if it's a question of appetite, probably we have to ask the question to say, how have you perfected your way that those people that will have an uptake in terms of applying for this kind of an intervention, we broadly conscientize people that they know that, you know what, this is a state intervention, is available, so at least the appetite can be an issue, both domestically and in terms of foreign entities. That would be the first issue that I wanted to raise. Secondly, probably following on the same one, is to say, are we having a mechanism or trying to improve the mechanism of support so that access for certain sectors of the economy is increased, inasmuch as we are correct to have a stringent due diligence that we need to conduct, so that, because if you don't conduct a due diligence, therefore the possibility of a failure rate might be high. I'm not sure over the last 5 years, or four and a half, or it's more than 5 years now, in the report to say, what can you share with us, not in too much detail, some highlights of the failure rate. Remember, certain people, they are given these support, either as loans or tax allowances, grants. We will always have a failure rate. And in learning from the failure rate, what are the key issues that we thought some of them failed because? Either it is because of due diligence or other issues that you might want to raise. Then there is an issue, probably also going forward, I'm happy because I know it's a high-level presentation, but probably some little bit of a categorization, especially when it comes to grants and so forth, to say how much this instrument has been able to succeed comparatively to stimulate foreign direct investment vis-a-vis the question right. of stimulating domestic investment, because sometimes we can be supporting those that are FDIs, but we also have to stimulate our own. And then the last two, Comrade Chair.
Right.
From your own experience now, DG, I heard you speaking well in terms of how the leakages are, either from manufacturing, linking with the mining and so forth. What do we think, just briefly, without being saying specifically, what still remains our constraints? Our constraints, are they still the question of the market access? Are they still the question of skills? Are they still the question of labor? Remember, the question of labor has always been raised. You know, other countries, the way their labor regime looks
right.
like the Chinese as an example, they are not having the advanced labor laws we do, but sometimes they use it as a constraint. Then the question of energy. Remember, some of these ones are taking a lot of, they need a sustainable energy supply. Then there is a question of environment. You remember the environmental cost. Some of them, before they start in a comrade chair,
right.
the environmental consideration in terms of the law, normally certain, depending which site, it can range between 5 to 11%
in terms of
the actual contribution. Then from the other countries, they don't do that. But generally, I'm saying that we're on the right track, and we could be able to do more. But maybe if we started to actually address some of these impediments, I'm trying to say what some of them have you learned, that we need to start to say how do we mitigate them. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Ms. Lobo. You asked to just come in quickly, Honourable Flanguini, before DTI returned. Sorry, Honourable Kacharya, my apologies.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I wanted to refer you to page 6 of the presentation. Now, clearly, incentives are intended to have a positive impact on jobs, and that requires increased competitiveness and sustainability, otherwise it's going to collapse. Now, in terms of the types of support you lay out there, I see loans are the smallest at 1.7 billion, tax allowances sit in the middle of 20 billion, and grants are the largest of 32.1 billion. Now, I worry about this because, and I wonder what informs this, because clearly, I mean, from my point of view, certainly the most efficacious support would be loan support, because that is predicated on due diligence done in terms of repayment and sustainability of the enterprise. The jury, frankly, is out on the efficacy of tax allowances, and grants are actually the least effective in terms of sustainability and measurement of ROI around this. So it seems to be odd that it's structured in this particular way. Now, I mean, there's, when I say the jury's out on tax and incentives generally, the impact on tax incentives driving investment and sustainability in South Africa, there are many studies. For a study by from Stellenbosch University's economic unit by Estian Khalid, Sally Wallace and LaRue Burrows comes to mind. And I'd like to see more competitive evaluation preceding this sort of thing in terms of discussion around the subject, because I worry about the balance here and about the smallness, the largeness of grants and the smallness of loans by comparison. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Kachalia. Honourable Flanguini.
Thanks, Chair. Now, mine was also in the same line with Mr. Kachalian's on the type of support. And then on in this book that we got, at the back of the page, there's a list of beneficiaries. On page 75 to 76, there's a list of beneficiaries. If we can just get a layout, maybe perhaps in terms of how does that type of support, your 59%, who gets the 59% from that list of beneficiary? Even if you don't have it now, maybe we can get it on a later stage. And then the 37%, because it should have been, when you have those percentages, be validated by maybe perhaps this information of the list of beneficiaries. So if you don't have it now, I'm comfortable that I can get it on a written response via the chair to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Flanguini. Once again, I must say the way in which this has been formatted is designed to give us a clear understanding of what has been achieved. But yes, there are questions that the members have raised. I myself was just trying to think the issues, the approvals on page 1250, slide 12, 54 billion, with slide 14, the disbursements. And it may not have been intended to link up directly, but the way I was looking at it is that, you know, in 2013-2014, approvals, as I understand, would have been 5.3 billion. And then I look here and we're looking at approvals of 13.5. Now, I'm not sure if we are intended to directly relate these two slides. The other point being made is it's just that the oversight of this committee at some point in time, perhaps 2 years ago or so, indeed included Naledi foundry operations. And it is here now, and the question I would still have is, are they able to get these tenders, etc., and are they now effectively localizing? Because the challenge that was communicated to us was that there was a problem not in getting the incentive, but actually securing the tender which had been given, and then the order not following the tender. With respect to the provinces, members, now all of us are from particular provinces without a doubt, but I think as we're not in the NCOP, we're in the National Assembly. We are really required to generate a more national view, global view on this matter. I wouldn't want to even start with where one was born and then where one's living now to have a look at this. So I'm just suggesting that when I looked at this, I don't come from the Northwest, neither do I come from the Northern Cape. However, I note there on slide 9, you know, the provincial overview, and I am aware that the population is the smallest in the 9 provinces, and I'm just assuming there's some relationship there, and also such the vast territory it encompasses. With respect to the Northwest, which seemed to have been in some ways better served, I wondered, is this a project-by-project approval, as it were, or is there some understanding that we should try and put something in each province? You know, what actually does inform the recognition and approval of projects and the allocation of funding? Members, thank you very much. And while, you know, we are moving into this phase, if anyone is feeling thirsty, there's some hot tea outside. But, of course, we're looking at one person maybe having to leave at a time rather than three. Thank you. DG, over to you and your team.
Honourable Chair, that is quite an exhaustive list of questions and very detailed ones. So I'm going to hand over to the team to maybe start. So
let's just have a 5-minute break, and that'll give us all an opportunity. I would like to discuss something with the whip, please, Honourable Khandebe. Don't hop fast, 11.